The title of Anne Lamott's beloved writing guide comes from a moment 30 years ago when her 10-year-old brother sat paralyzed before a school report on birds due the next day. After 3 months of procrastination, he was overwhelmed with tears and dread. Their father sat beside him and offered the advice that would later become Lamott's creative philosophy. Bird by bird, buddy. Just take it bird by bird. This simple wisdom, tackling enormous tasks one small piece at a time, forms the backbone of a book that has rescued countless writers from creative despair. Unlike craft books promising formulas for success, Lamott embraces the messy reality of creation with brutal honesty and compassionate humor. Perhaps that's why it remains a literary North Star for aspiring writers nearly 3 decades after its publication, selling over 1 million copies and earning devotion from authors like Elizabeth Gilbert and Cheryl Strayed, who consider it their creative Bible. When panic mounts and creativity runs dry, Lamott uses her desk's 1-inch picture frame as a reminder to focus on just one small, manageable fragment, not the entire novel, just what she can see through that tiny window. As E.L. Doctorow noted, writing a novel is like driving a car at night. You can see only as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. When we attempt to envision grand projects, we're essentially trying to scale a glacier with bloody fingertips. Instead, focus on what's directly before you. Writing addresses our deepest needs to be visible, heard, and to make sense of our lives. But sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, like Bill Murray's character in Stripes, who hates being called Francis, until Warren Oates finally says, "Hey, tighten up, Francis." Not a bad line to tape above your desk. The most freeing concept in Lamott's philosophy is the shitty first draft. All good writers write them. It's how they end up with good second drafts and terrific thirds. The fantasy of successful writers confidently typing fully formed passages is pure delusion. Think of your first draft as the child's draft, letting everything pour onto the page without restraint. Something magnificent might emerge that rational means would never discover. Half the battle involves quieting the voices in your head, the judgmental reader lady, the Orwellian German documenting your thought crimes, your parents. Perfectionism is creativity's greatest enemy. It blocks your work with the obsessive belief that careful navigation will somehow help you avoid death. Those not watching their feet will do better and have more fun. Perfectionism stifles inventiveness. It's a desperate attempt to avoid mess. But clutter shows that life is being lived. It's fertile ground for discovery. Writing needs to breathe and move. Breaking through perfectionism requires compassion, keeping yourself company as you would a friend. Notice when radio station KFKD, self-aggrandizement from one speaker, self-loathing from the other, is playing in your head, then quiet it with a simple prayer. Please help me get out of the way so I can write what wants to be written. Characters develop like Polaroids. They take time to know. Each person has their own emotional acre. They tend in specific ways. Your job is discovering what this acre looks like and how they maintain it. Learn their physical details, values, and what they do with limited time left. You'll love characters who reflect you and hate others for the same reason. But you must let bad things happen to characters you love, or your story becomes pointless. A likable narrator is crucial. As Ethan Cannon noted, nothing holds a story together better. A character's flaws, self-preoccupation, jealousy, procrastination, make them interesting. Perfect characters are shallow and unreal and fatally uninteresting. Plot grows organically from character, not vice versa. Don't worry about plot. Focus on who your people are and what they'll do. Develop relationships between characters, and the plot will emerge naturally. Discover what each character cares most about. That's what's at stake. Without stakes, there's no tension, and readers won't turn pages. Mel Brooks once had a routine where a psychiatrist tells his patient, "Listen to your broccoli, and your broccoli will tell you how to eat it." This seemingly absurd advice holds profound wisdom for writers. When stuck, quiet yourself and listen to your inner voice. Many of us lost our intuition in childhood when dismissed perceptions taught us to doubt what we truly saw. To write well, you must reclaim that intuitive voice. Without it, you're left with only your rational mind, which often fails on difficult days. Persistence allows images to emerge that open doors for your characters and plot. You build confidence by trusting yourself and taking your own side. During first drafts, let your imagination roam freely without scrutinizing technique. If you habitually abandon stories midway, perhaps nothing at their center truly matters to you. Place yourself and your deepest beliefs at the core of your writing. Publication won't change your life, solve your problems, or make you rich. The anticipation is long, the celebration brief. Yet writing offers deeper rewards. Lamont wrote books as gifts for dying loved ones, her father with brain cancer and friend Pammy with breast cancer, creating love letters that became part of their immortality. Finding your authentic voice requires abandoning borrowed styles. Many writers were good children who witnessed difficult things but were silenced. You can't write authentically with imaginary parents reading over your shoulder saying, "Don't tell that secret." You must write as if your parents are dead. Unacknowledged truth drains energy. Annie Dillard advises giving our best work daily rather than saving it for future projects. Only by shooting our literary wad daily do we experience full presence. In this wounded society, writing offers a place to belong. Lamont encourages writing about childhood, when observations were most acute and feelings most intense. Understanding your childhood builds empathy for compassionate writing. Don't pity yourself. You chose this path. You're fortunate to build sandcastles with words, creating memory-filled places despite their impermanence. This distinguishes artists from others. The literary life is spiritually invigorating and intellectually stimulating. Some moments while writing feel like such intense pleasure that Lamont thinks she'd be burned at the stake for feeling so good. Even if only your writing group reads your work, having written your truth is honorable. Your words might help others unexpectedly. Writing decreases isolation and feeds the soul, like singing during a terrible storm at sea. Writers, like lighthouses, don't search for boats to save. They simply stand and shine. You can approach writing as a laborer or an artist. The question is, how alive are you willing to be? Pick up your pen, look through that one-inch frame, and take it bird by bird. The world needs your voice, your stories, one small, imperfect piece at a time.